There are many things happening out there in the world today. So much problems, wars, economic crisis. We can see a decline even in human morality. Things seem to be going out of order. But the funny thing about this is, when we ask those who have lived before us, they also felt the same way. Those who lived 100 years ago also felt the same way we feel today, that things are out of order. Lots of problems here and there. There have always been wars. There have always been economic crises. There have always been, natural disasters, floods, fires, earthquakes. Somehow this circle never seems to end. And at times, when a man is not vigilant, there's a tendency to just let go, to lose all hope. But a good word has come today to strengthen the hearts of those who look forward to this great salvation that the Lord has made available to all people. So Paul's writing to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, he says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Be not slothful. See, but be follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Without faith, you can't please God. You can't, without faith, you cannot reach out to receive that invisible treasure that the Lord has declared to all of mankind today. If the eyes are not focused to see beyond the natural, to see into the spirit, beyond the veil of human understanding, if the eyes are not open to see that thing, it will be very difficult to receive from God. So he says we should be followers of those who through patience and faith and patience inherit the promise. Let us not waver. Let us not be worried by the things around us, the physical conditions, material conditions, things that seem to always change. But the eyes must be focused on the promise, on Him that says, I live forever. Let us be like Jesus, who was able to walk upon the sea, upon the waves, the tides of the waves. The waves were all rocky, ups and downs, but Jesus Christ was able to walk upon the sea because his eyes were focused on that invisible one. He was not living in relation to this world that we live in today. Praise God. So let us go on. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise God. Now, I want us to understand something here, because you need the lenses of the Spirit to understand what the Bible is saying. See, Abraham and the figures of old, the Old Testament prophets, the faithful men Noah, and all these great men of God walked according to the light that they had. They walked according to the revelation that they had. Abraham had his focus on a natural promise, had his focus on something that is physical, something that is of this world, because he could not discern the voice of the Spirit at that time. It was not given to Abraham to understand what the Spirit was trying to communicate with him. But today, we have the Spirit. Today we can understand everything that the Lord intended to communicate right from the days of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. Jesus Christ said, blessed are your eyes that they see, your ears that they hear. Because the ancients, the prophets like Abraham, it was not given to them to see and to understand what is the mystery of the kingdom of God. Praise God. So Abraham, through faith and through patience, obtained a reward, he obtained Isaac, he obtained riches. But I tell you today, there is something higher than that, that the Lord is offering his people. Every man who can stretch out to receive this thing will receive it. God swore by himself. He swore by himself. And you know, when you read such things, you cannot understand them except by the Spirit. God swore, saying, surely I will bless thee and multiply thee. Praise God. I will bless thee. Today we receive the fullness of that blessing, because he says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every. We're speaking here about a blessing that surpasses knowledge. A blessing that is without limits. Praise God. The blessing, the anointing without measure, the glory of God without measure has been given to we today who can hear the voice of the Spirit and hearken to the voice of the Spirit. When God says, I swear by myself, in reality, he's saying that I am your exceeding great reward. I, the creator of the heavens and the earth, I, the immortal and invisible God, the incorruptible one, who is without beginning, who is without end, is your great reward. Because the very life of God is our inheritance. Because those of you who know the parable of the prodigal son, remember how that the prodigal son came back to his senses. When the prodigal son got back to his senses and ascends back into the father's presence, returns back from a far away country, which is actually the realm of the grave. The far away country is the realm of hell and death, is the realm of the world, the realm of, you know, of death, when men are separated from God, alienated from God in their minds through the ignorance that is in their minds. But the prodigal son gets back to his senses and unites himself with God. And on doing so, he discovers that everything that is the Father's is his. All that I have is yours. The glory, the anointing, every spiritual blessing, every power, everything that pertains to the Father is mine. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. This is the great promise that has been, you know, poured out to every man who has ears to hear and to receive it by faith. God swears by himself, blessing, I will bless you. I will bless you with myself. I will bless you with my glory. I will bless you with my life. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Remember the words of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus. Father, glorify me with yourself. The glory of the Father is the very great crown. It's our very great reward. See, and this is the oath of God towards mankind. This is the oath, the promise of God to bless you exceedingly above all things without measure in Him. So we should rejoice. No need to be sorrowful anywhere. Let us throw away sorrow. Let us throw away pain. Let us throw away bitterness. And with thanksgiving, enter in by faith through the gates of His kingdom. Let's quickly rush to Genesis chapter 23. And we see from verse 1 how that God, you know, tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. God tells Abraham to take Isaac to the mountain, a mountain in Moriah, in the land of Moriah, to sacrifice Isaac unto him. And Abraham obeyed the voice and set out to sacrifice Isaac. And the Bible says that Abraham ascended a high mountain, praise God, and took Isaac with him. Now let's read this together. Genesis chapter 22, after from verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Praise God. Now, these are very prophetic words, very deep mystical words here. You can see him going up a mountain to worship. See, because in reality, we are going to discover that the act of worship is actually an ascension upon God's holy hill. Praise God. Now let's go further. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up to God. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it was said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Now listen here, this is the important part. And said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, you have obeyed the voice of God. See, I want you to understand carefully, meditate on these verses carefully, because these words are life. They are life to those who can find them. Because that same voice that told Abraham to ascend that high mountain on Moriah and sacrifice his only possession on the earth, his only son, that voice is calling out to you today to do the same thing. But it is a spiritual voice. It is a spiritual communication, calling the sons of God. The voice of the Lord is actually the last trumpet, calling people unto the obedience of the faith in Christ Jesus. This is the last trumpet. It is the voice of the Son of Man, which is actually the voice of God, going forth to call the elect back unto God's holy hill. Praise God. Every man must ascend God's holy hill to worship. Praise God. And as you do this, you let go of your life. Praise God. This is what God requires. Let go of your human life so that you can once more be a partaker of that divine life that is the Father's, God. Praise God. That is what the voice is saying. Because you have obeyed my voice, in blessing will I bless you. And I shall multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of the, you know, of his enemies. What is the enemy of the seed of God? Now the seed of God in you is Christ. And God is saying your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Meaning that you shall conquer death. Death is the enemy, is the last enemy to be destroyed. Isn't it said that he has brought immortality and life through the gospel, through the good news? He has abolished death, abolished sin, destroyed the grave through the appearing of Christ, through the unveiling of the mystery of Christ. So that voice is calling the sons of God to come back unto fellowship. Come back, ascend back, and let go of your life. Praise God. Something very interesting to note is that Jesus performed something similar. He demonstrated something similar. You know, but of course you need the spirit to discern what Jesus was trying to communicate. Mark, in the book of Mark chapter 8, Jesus Christ says that, you know, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, denying yourself and taking your cross and following Christ, the good news reveals the divine life that we share with the Father, and also admonishes every man to lay aside his life, or rather what he thinks is his life, your only human life. Lay it down. Lay it down faithfully and conform yourself to the very image of the celestial Christ that is being revealed today. Jesus Christ further adds in Mark chapter 8, "Or what shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul?" You can see that the mentality of mankind is the gaining of this world, acquiring this world, acquiring unto himself or gathering unto himself the glories of this outer world, which is actually not possible, because in man's descent you only lose out on the very life of the Father. This is the folly of man, the foolishness of Adam. See, thinking himself to be wise, he becomes a fool, and his soul is trapped in the realm of hell and death. Praise God. So Jesus Christ, immediately after this, in Mark chapter 9, demonstrates a mystery here. He says, "I tell you the truth, some of you standing here will not taste of death until you see, you know, me coming, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Some of you, look, I'm going to read it, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there are some of you that stand here that will not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Some will not taste of death. Why? It is those who have obeyed what he just said. Those who have laid down their lives. Those who have obeyed the gospel, obeyed the voice of God, admonishing them to lose their lives in this world, lose their terrestrial lives, lay down their lives on the altar to take a hold on the new life. And this is done by faith. It's done by your confession, by walking in newness of life. It is no longer I, but Christ. It is no longer I that was born of a man, born of a woman. It's no longer I, the natural man of the dust, but it is Christ, the Son of the living God. We must understand these things, meditate on these things. Praise God. And Jesus Christ demonstrates the ascension of the mountain as he climbs up. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 verse 2, after 6 days, meaning that he's transcending humanity. Six means man, the number of man, the number of mortal man. After 6 days, you know, he ascends up, you know, a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he transfigures before them. You know, he manifests the inner man, the man of light, the glorious Christ, the risen Christ. He displayed immortality, life, light. He displayed the glory of the Father embedded in himself. You see, and you can see, this is the focus of the gospel. See, in that glorified Christ, the transfigured Christ, rests the totality of God. He says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. The Father dwells in the Son. The Father lives in the Son. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. The Father and the Son are one. This is the life that has been offered to every man. This is the promise. In that life, we have the fullness of the blessing of God. And death has no power of that life. In that life is light, and there is no darkness at all. He says that your seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. The enemy is death and hell. That is the enemy to be destroyed. See, the Christ in you can never die. Some of you will not die. You will see the coming, the unveiling of the kingdom of God within you. You will transfigure like Jesus and walk in that light of the living. Praise God. But Jesus had to take a 3 days journey upwards. He had to go upwards the mountain. And the mountain was separate. Separate, apart, isolated. Speaks of how we have to endure to ascend. Ascend the rugged mountains. How that this is a solitary walk by faith. This kind of walk is not a walk with crowds, with multitudes. It's not a walk with friends, with family members. Every individual has to hear this call and let that inner call, that inner anointing, guide him back to his place in God. obey the voice of the Spirit. Hearken to the voice, the revelation of Christ in this hour. And as you hearken, you are assured of life, the very glory of God. This is the promise of God that is unchangeable. God cannot lie. He has spoken and it shall come to pass. All that a man needs to do is to hear the voice, the trumpet. And as you hear the trumpet, hearken to the trumpet. Let the trumpet guide you out of your human terrestrial living back into the celestial man who is the Lord from heaven. It really is a wonderful thing. Praise God. God swore by himself. We must understand that the oath of God, the promise, immutable promise, unchangeable promise, is that he is our great reward. Great is your reward in heaven. And your Father is the one who is in heaven. Your reward is the Father, is the life of the Father, is the glory of God. Realize the Christ in you. Realize the Christ in you, and you have discovered the Father. Realize the Christ in you, and you have known the Father. So what can we do? It's listening more and more. Listening more and more. Jesus taught us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the fresh dose of revelation light, understanding, to increase in the knowledge of Christ within us. Praise God, let me know this light that surpasses all knowledge. What Abraham got back in return was a resurrected Isaac. When we lay down our life by faith in obedience to the word, we are awake in him. And herein lies the promise. Blessings forevermore. Receive this by faith, brethren. And the Lord strengthen you in your day-to-day work. Amen.